Welcome to another Spooktober special, the Marvel edition. I'm Alicia, acolyte of the Queen of the Dead, and we are the Lorehounds.
Welcome to Comics Versus Talks to MC Universe. I'm Jean, and this episode's deep dive into Marvel Zombies comes with an R rating for descriptions of gore.
Brains. We're going to start with our spoiler-free hot takes in case you haven't seen it. And then after a warning and a break, all spoilers will be on the table, including comics, TV, and movies. Actually, I will talk a bit about the comics just to set up what you should read if you want to do that. Are you a Marvel Zombies comics fan?
I've read it. I just personally think that the DC zombie, what DC did with their zombie Elseworld tale was just better.
Okay. I mean, The Marvel, I haven't read the DC stuff, so I really can't compare. But the Marvel zombies is so prolific. There's a main storyline that they seem to be drawing some basic elements from for this show. But
what do you think it is? Well, you'll tell me when you...
I made a little section with my recommended
reading. Yeah.
Okay. So we are here to talk about Marvel Zombies, released September 24th on Disney Plus after a lot of delay because apparently you're only allowed to have one horror show from Marvel per year. We're never getting Ghost Rider.
I mean, there's 31 days in October. You know what I mean? Exactly. Come on. Come on,
Feige. I mean, and there's also 11 more months
of the year. That's true. Yes. Yeah. Come on, Feige. Do better.
But this is a spinoff show from What If, specifically the episode, season one, episode 5, What If Zombies? And I'll put a link in the show notes to Jean and I did a season one recap. So you can check that out. We go much more into it and, of course, the rest of the season. But we will lightly recap the important bits of that episode today on the other side of the spoiler warning. And just to add to that, like other than that one episode, Wanda and the zombies do show up briefly in the What If season one and season two finales, but really they're just used as a tool to like hold people up in battle. And then eventually Wanda and the zombies are dumped back in the original universe. So nothing really happens in that regard in those, so you can skip them from the zombie angle at least. Like that series, this was created by Brian Andrews, but also bringing in this time comics writer Zeb Wells. And I have to ask you about Zeb Wells because I remember, Jean, you objecting to a certain infamous now comic that he released in 2023. The Amazing Spider-Man number 26. So it's, do you want to fill people in?
Yeah, just, it was, he killed off Ms. Marvel in that comic book for no good reason. Just to kind of, I thought, and many other people thought, was simply because he wanted to have Peter go through something to become better. And that, my friends, is what we would refer to as fridging. and he did it on a spectacular, pun not intended, level in that Spider-Man book, and which caused me to actually stop reading his run on the Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
So
there's that. Were you a fan before that of his work?
Yeah, I was enjoying the run. Mm-hmm. I really did. I will say I enjoyed the run. But I got to that because it was teased about something huge is happening. And then when I read it, it was that. And I'm just like, no. Like, absolutely not. No, this is not something that I want. This is not something that I need. And this is not something that I want in my comics. Like, Ms. Marvel, you know, she's her own person. She's her own self. She's a great character, and she doesn't need to be used as a device to spur growth in someone else. And that was so, you know, stupid in my view. So,
mm-hmm. So without dancing around spoilers for now, but Ms. Marvel is a big part of this miniseries. Yes. Do you think he did her right? this time?
Yes.
Okay.
For the most part, yes.
Yeah. Well, this was the studio's first animated series to be really to be rated TVMA. I think it was going to be like the first, I don't know, this Blade and I guess Deadpool and Wolverine were the ones people were talking about as the first rated R's, but they delayed this so long. It was also originally going to be a film, but they decided to split it into four episodes, which all range between 32 and 38 minutes in length. And the premise is, after the Avengers are overtaken by a zombie plague, a group of survivors discover the key to bringing an end to the superpowered undead, racing across a dystopian landscape and risking their lives to save their world. All right, Sean, spoiler-free, hot takes. What do you think about Marvel Zombies?
The animation was gorgeous. Mm-hmm. This was really well crafted. So kudos to the studio and the people who worked on the images and visuals, because that was outstanding. I didn't like the way it ended. I'm not a fan of that ending at all. And we'll talk about why I'm not a fan of the ending, I guess, as we go through. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was I enjoyed each episode, but the ending for me kind of, I don't want to say ruined, because I still enjoy the season, but the ending for me left a lot to be desired.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I don't mind the ending. Even if there's not a season two, and apparently it got high viewership numbers. So
yeah, it did.
A second season's definitely not out of the question. That definitely wasn't in the plans, but if it did well enough, then maybe they'll be like, huh, you know, maybe churning out these animated shows is a good way to keep people happy. I'm gonna agree with you. The visuals are absolutely fantastic. The people who love this miniseries, that's what they are loving, you know? The kills, the sweeping battle shots, you know, all the stuff you can do. Yeah. The cast is incredible. Huge. I think it's like about half of them are played by their live action counterparts. And it was recorded 2 years ago-ish. So it's everyone who was under contract then just recorded this. And now they're asking people like Iman Vellani and Elizabeth Olsen. And they're like, oh yeah, right. Yeah. I remember a couple years ago, I recorded it in my closet. That show. Right. So, we were just talking on Peacemaker about Cameo Fest, and Peacemaker's not a Cameo Fest, by the way, for anyone who hasn't watched it yet. There are some well used, but these Cameo Fests, it's a lot of fun. Like, there was a lot of fan service in this show, and I don't necessarily say that in a bad way. Like, there's some cool stuff, like stuff I didn't even know I wanted to see.
Right.
But there's just too much of it.
Yeah, there's so many revolving characters.
Mm-hmm.
A lot. But the thing is, I will give them credit, is that a lot of the characters weren't there just to be there. Like, they had some overall role in the story, whether it be minuscule or large scale. So they didn't just plant faces to plant a face. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that, and I loved the pools that they went for some of the characters that they brought in. I don't even, in the recap that we're doing, I don't think we're even going to be able to mention all of the ones that were in there.
No, impossible.
It's just too much.
Unless you're going to go down into a 4-hour, you know, breakdown. <Yeah. laughs> Set a new Lowhounds record.
That's when we need the video. We'll pause, go frame by frame on the show.
Frame by frame. Oh, give them a good four hours and 30 minutes, you know?
It's a very fun collection of characters. It's fun to see them interact. It does make me I'm like, well, why haven't we seen these three girls, women together in live action yet? You know,
right.
I was feeling like that. I just wish that if they had just toned down the number of characters a bit, we could have gone deeper on more of the characters. And I do agree with the two that they gave the most attention to. Mm-hmm. I think they're two of the most interesting characters in the MCU. And yeah, it's an interesting dynamic. But I just wish that there was, that I got less whiplash from the revolving door of characters. and yeah, the humor wasn't necessarily hitting for me, but sometimes I feel like I'm humorless when it comes to American shows. Oh my God. I'm like, I want it dry and biting. I mean, it seems like the public there is a lot of love for it, particularly on the visual side. And then there are people like me who are like, yeah, it was good. Not necessarily. I think I had such high expectations because I do like the Marvel Zombies comics. There's so many of them.
Yeah, there are a lot of them outside of that original run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if anyone is interested in reading them, I'm going to give you the core story. It's a story on a loop. I'll just say that up front. So this is the core story. It starts out of release order slightly. It starts with a 2007 single issue origin story called Marvel Zombies Dead Days. And then you get where they were really first released in 2005, the Ultimate Fantastic Four issues number 21 to 23 is when they were first introduced. And, you know, I'm not like huge Fantastic Four person, but this was a really good comic, actually.
Yeah, I think for a while, the Ultimate Fantastic Four was the better of the Fantastic Four books.
I believe it. Yeah. I believe it. Yeah, because it's an alternate universe for anyone who doesn't know. Not 616.
Not the main Marvel universe in the comics.
So then after that setup, then you finally get to Marvel Zombies Volume 1, released in 2005 to 2006, five issues long. And this is written by Robert Kirkman and basically is the basis of what we've seen so far in the animated versions. And then it goes back to that Ultimate Fantastic Four run for issues 30 through 32 called Frightful, that series, in 2006 to wrap up that story. And then there's a volume two that jumps 40 years later. And that's, again, five issues, the Marvel Zombies volume two. And then to finish the original storyline, Marvel Zombies Return 2009, five issues again. And then there's others in between, like there's a team up with Army of Darkness, you know, from the Evil Dead. There's a Black Panther crossover. There's more volumes of Marvel Zombies, but those all take place in other universes. So you can read them all. It'll take a while. And they're still releasing now at this very moment, a new series, Marvel Zombies Red Band. I haven't checked it out yet. Have you?
I have not.
It's supposed to be gorier than ever. I'm like, okay, it's a series known for its gore. So yeah, let's see. Pukila rating.
I mean, do we even have to?
No.
It's zombies, people.
It's zombies.
Animated zombies.
It's the goriest of the zombies. Yeah,
exactly. It's probably the goriest show that I've watched this year, I think.
What do you think about it compared to, I mean, obviously they change the story a lot, as they always do, but what do you think about the feel of the show compared to the comics?
Oh, wow. That's a good question. In a lot of ways, this story is more grounded than the comics. And so I think that's the one thing I will say. It feels a little bit more, it feels like this could be something that could be portrayed in live action, you know, and to make you feel like it's, you know, actually happening. Whereas the comics is not, I don't think it's that way, the way the original series was written.
Yeah, we saw,
I think that's
very,
the biggest difference for me, yeah.
We saw very few, zombies speak in the series versus in the comics.
They all speak in the comics.
They're all like
intelligent.
Pretty much normal intelligence, normal skills. And then I suppose in a way it jumps the shark a little bit when they eat Galactus. And the Silver Surfer and have the power cosmic so they can travel through the, and they apparently eat the entire galaxy in 40 years. I'm like, I don't know.
Why not?
This galaxy is pretty big.
That was great.
But yeah, I mean, but there's a lot of great pathos, surprisingly, in those comics too. So I missed that a little bit in this, the, just the, but even though the comics are ensemble, you know, they have many characters. Instead, it's the zombies' point of view mostly, rather than here, they're we have the survivors.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But still, there's time for certain characters to stand out in ways that I think, and I suppose there's a lot more time. If you're reading multiple of these comic runs, then yes, there's more time than 4 half-hour episodes.
Right.
But yeah, I just wished that they had trimmed some of the characters, as delightful as it was to see them all, just to focus more on the others, to get me invested. That's my only thing. But I liked it. I liked it overall. Would watch it again. Would be glad for there to be a season 2.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm going to watch it again.
Yeah. All right. Any final spoiler-free thoughts? Any recommendations about who should watch?
It's Spooktober. Anybody who likes, their action gory and bloody and your feeling in the mood for brains, then give this a go, because they can do things with the animation that we haven't been able to do in the live action, and that's always a cool thing. So yeah, if you enjoy that type of scene, come on down.
Do you think you need to be a Marvel fan?
No.
Hmm.
No, not at all.
It just looks cool.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't,
yeah, I don't need to know who these people are.
Yeah, you don't. You really don't. I mean, the story tells itself, actually. Mm-hmm. So, you don't need to know.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break here. And when we get back, it's going to be spoiler time. Hi, Alicia from the Lorehounds here. I'm genuinely excited about this new sponsor we're working with this fall because they've played an important role in my family's holidays and special events for many years now. I'm talking about Uncommon Goods, my and my family's favorite place to buy gifts for each other. Their official tagline is Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else, which is absolutely true. But if you know me at all, you know that I get excited about unique, quirky products made by artisans and other creative people. I just personally love scrolling through their website and stumbling across such specific items I'd never find anywhere else. Over the years, I've gotten everything from personalized puzzles to retro viewfinders with family photos to beer brewing or wine aroma kits. And my latest purchase is a 3-in-1 convertible bag. It's a gift for my mom to thank her for everything she's done to help me through my tougher moments. And I'm getting started on my holiday shopping earlier this year, too. Need to make sure that I leave plenty of time for gifts to arrive with the recent unpredictability in shipping. If you're thinking the same, then good news. We can offer you a 15% discount when you shop on Uncommon Goods and drop our name. So shop early, have fun, and cross some names off your list today. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/lorehounds. That's uncommongoods.com/lorehounds for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary. Okay, and we are back. We're going to get into the Marvel Zombie spoilers. We're going to be talking through plot arc by plot arc, mixing the 4 episodes together a bit. So make sure you've seen them all or be ready to be spoiled. Before we get into it, Jean, do you have, now that we are in the spoiler zone, do you have a favorite kill or death?
Oh, gosh. That's... Man.
I'm going to go with...
I mean, go ahead. You go with yours. Go ahead.
I'm going to go with Moon Knight versus Ghost when he takes Ghost out.
I mean, that's classic. The Spider-Man swinging over the zombie horde.
And the head rips?
Yes. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I think those are the two of the most iconic for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you want to set us up? Recap also that What If Zombies episode.
All right. So Wakanda Lost, including What If Zombies, the recap. In What If Zombies, Hank Pym, the original Ant-Man, rescues his wife from the Quantum Zone, unknowingly unleashing a zombie virus through Earth 89521. With the Avengers being the first infected, now immortal if decaying super beings with an endless hunger that overrides all morality, the entire world is quickly consumed by the virus. One small band of heroes holds on to their humanity long enough to reach a SHIELD base in New Jersey, where they believe they will find a cure. But what they find instead is Vision holding T'Challa captive, feeding bits of him to Vision's zombie wife, the formidable Scarlet Witch. But the cure wasn't totally a lie. As Scott Lang's very living, very human head in a jar attests after being cured by the Mind Stone. After losing Okoye and others to the zombie infection or permanent death, Peter Parker is the only survivor of his group. Vision, no longer able to live with himself, gives up the Mind Stone, and he and the Hulk sacrifice themselves to hold the zombie Scarlet Witch at bay and give Peter, T'Challa, and Scott's head, using the Cloak of Levitation as a body, to a chance to escape to Wakanda, where they hoped they would be able to find a cure to the world, unaware that a zombie Thanos is waiting, his world-ending Infinity Gauntlet nearly complete. Picking up that storyline in Episode 3 of Marvel Zombies, the survivors fight Thanos with the help of the Guardians of the Galaxy, who are quickly taken out, only with Thor surviving, and then immediately retreating to New Asgard. T'Challa sacrifices himself to push Thanos into Wakanda's vibranium core, destroying him and the Infinity Stones. Just then, the sorcerers of Kamataj arrive to rescue Parker and Lang.
So I have to shout out the whole thing from What If Zombies, where T'Challa is being kept as food and his leg specifically is being fed to someone is straight out of the comic series. But in straight that case, it was Hank Pym who was like keeping him as a personal meat locker. And that's how he and Janet had a falling out. And Janet starts to think, maybe this is wrong.
Maybe.
Maybe we shouldn't eat the people.
Oh, gosh.
They were a lot smarter in their comic, the zombies. Which, yeah, it makes more sense that they're not that smart in the TV show. It is interesting, though, that, yeah, Janet was the ally in the comics in the show. And of course, Janet was a Wasp. And in this time, we see Hope as the Wasp is the one who sacrificed herself in that zombies to help them. And then here we have kind of Vision as the repentant one. And it was Spider-Man was the most remorseful in the comics and the one trying to find a cure at the end.
I mean, just both in the comics and in the show, just watching, seeing T'Challa like that, man. that was terrible. That was terrible. I don't know how they do my boy like that. My boy is on the gurney, you know, just getting his limbs chopped off to be fed.
But they get all kinds of vibranium, what do you call it? Prosthetics in the comic.
Yeah, yeah.
Just, and it's like, in the comics, yeah, T'Challa he gets partially eaten and so he loses his leg and then he goes back to Wakanda and then he gets zombified with his guts hanging out. So then he has to have like a sort of vibranium girdle to keep his guts in his body.
It's crazy. It's crazy. They did my guy wrong and they did my guy wrong. But at least in he got like this great heroic death though.
Mm-hmm.
Stopping Thanos, I will say that.
So what did you think about, I think I know, but what did you think about the choice to not recast T'Challa to say Wakanda forever and have the Spider-Man narration instead? Which so is, stupid. By the way, a different casting, not Tom Holland.
So dumb, so stupid. It makes no sense to me. It's not honoring anything. They keep saying, telling me it's honoring Chadwick Boseman. It's not. It's not. That's not how you honor somebody, by trying to keep things static and frozen in time. You just can't do that. And I think that's a failure on Marvel to try to continue with this, you know, we're not going to recast the character because it would be disrespectful to Chadwick's legacy and memory. And that's the opposite is true. The opposite is true. I can't imagine a world where Chadwick Boseman would say that he did not want another actor to pick up the mantle of the character. Mm-hmm. I just cannot imagine a world where he would say that. And to keep that as the reason, I think it's disrespectful, and I don't like it one bit.
Hmm.
That's just me personally. I'm not a friend of his. I'm not a loved one. I'm not anyone connected to his estate or his family or anything like that. But I'm just saying, as a fan of him and as a fan of the character, I don't think what I know of him that this is the route that we should be taking.
Well, so I keep saying that I do think that we have a recast coming with Secret Wars. I think that's part of the point. And so in that regard, I suppose I understand not wanting to recast for this moment, this specific version that was his. Although I do wonder if they couldn't have taken just a clip of him saying Wakanda Forever and mixed it into the sound. That might have been a powerful thing to do. I don't know if there's a rights thing or whatever with that. It felt a little to me like, oh, they're just paying the one not Tom Holland Spider-Man actor to do this voiceover so we don't have to pay all the other voiceover actors. And then I was like, oh, is that why most of the zombies don't speak?
Oh, you know, I didn't even think about that. That's possible. Yeah, it's possible.
I was okay with it, but it does feel a little bit like bending over backwards when they recast like half of the cast. So
like he doesn't speak.
Yeah. Like Blade is not played by Mahershala Ali, although they made it look like him.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm just saying he doesn't speak. If anybody knows anything about the character of Black Panther, is that he's not shy, you know, whether it's written in comics or on screen, he's not shy. He's not cheeky. A character. Yeah, it's very, you know, and he's one of the smartest people in the Marvel universe. So for him to not speak in this moment, nah.
Yeah. Yeah. I just have to say my one thing in this storyline that, and first of all, it's interesting that they waited until the third episode to reintroduce these characters from the What If series, but I don't hate it. They hooked me immediately with the trio at the beginning. We'll get to in a second. But it's interesting. It's the third episode, but this was the point where I got annoyed was when the Guardians of the Galaxy showed up and were immediately vaporized. And I was like, oh, come on. Except Thor, of course.
You already know where I stand on the Guardians.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Peter Quill wasn't even there, so.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That is true. That is true. He didn't show. That's true.
All right, so let's go on a girls' trip. 5 years later, Kate Bishop, Riri Williams, and Iron Man's former AI-driven suit Friday, now fitted with a teddy bear head, do their best to survive in a zombified New York City. One day, they discover a shrunken transmitter device inside a zombified Dr. Eric Selvig and decide to travel to a SHIELD base in Ohio to try to activate it. But on the way, they get caught in an ongoing battle between Icarus and a zombified Carol Danvers. And only Kamala makes it out with the transmitter when she is rescued by Blade Knight, daywalking vampire, and avatar of the god Khonshu, who takes her the rest of the way to Ohio. At the base, Kamala and Blade meet Melina Vostokov and Alexei Shostakov and Yelena Belova, who are guarded by Melina's mind-controlled zombies. They figure out that the transmitter needs to be taken to space to transmit a message to the Nova Corps before the base is overrun by another horde led by Okoye, now herald of the Queen of the Dead, the zombie Scarlet Witch. Melina sacrifices herself so that the others can escape. Blade says he knows where they can find a ship that can take them to space. So what did you think of this whole stretch overall?
I think this was my favorite episode.
Yeah.
I think this was my favorite episode because I just love the back and forth with Kate, Riri, just, you know, on Friday. Just really, I really enjoyed that. And Kamala, I like that dynamic that they had together. Trying to survive in this world and trying to figure their next moves out. I thought that was really cool to see. And I think they each showed why they survived. You know what I mean? And how they survived together. So I like this pairing, this grouping of young heroes. I thought the Icarus and Captain Marvel. Carol Danvers' fight was just... crazy. Because at first I didn't understand what was happening.
No. It was cool they brought in Icarus, one of the Eternals for anyone who's lost. Who is a synth, so he's not a zombie.
He's not a zombie, but he's trying to keep the zombies from escaping Earth, you know, going into outer space. So Carol is obviously the one that can fly into deep space, so he's fighting her to keep her Earthbound. Which I found to be really cool.
Yeah, concept. That is cool.
Right, because that's his mission. His mission by the Celestials is to keep Earth safe until they're ready to harvest the egg, right? So he's fulfilling his mission by keeping, you know, the populace, by keeping Earth safe or trying to keep Earth safe. But he failed, obviously, because the zombies have taken over, but still, he's still here fighting. And I thought that was really cool.
It's also, it's interesting. Kamala doesn't know who Carol is in this timeline because I guess Kamala was a preteen. You know, it was before Carol became famous when the zombie breakout happened.
Right.
So you have this superpowered being that no one even knows about except the Eternals.
Really cool stuff.
And so Kamala said that she was sent the bangle by her grandmother who had some sort of like precognition that she would need it. So does that mean that her grandmother in the 616 universe, in our universe, in Ms. Marvel, that she foresaw something? I wonder what it would be.
I don't know.
That's
a good question.
I did have some quibbles with this section in terms of like the what felt like kind of cheap jump scares, you know, like let's stick your hand in the zombie without making sure it's dead first. Or, you know, like in my head, I was thinking like new drinking game, take a shot every time a character sacrifices themselves for the group. It happens at least once an episode, if not twice. but it was really great. I agree. It was great to have the three of them together. It made me just want more because the animators were trying to incorporate their micro expressions, but it just reminded me like, oh, I wish I could see their real little faces they make when they talk. Yeah.
And like you said in the beginning, this is something that you want to see on screen, these three characters together, you know, seeing what we've already seen of them in their respective, you know, TV roles and movie roles or whatever.
We
want that. We want this. You know, give the people what they want, Feige.
Yeah, come on. That's what I'm gonna say at the end.
Today's your day.
I do have to say that the way they set it up, it sort of telegraphed the ending a bit to me. I was waiting. I got a little distracted waiting for Riri to come back the whole rest of the show because she gets bit and she's like, this is not how I wanted to test this, and gives herself a shot. And then Friday's like, I can't let another master die, and goes back to her. I'm like, well, there's no way she's not making it. So I was like, when's she showing up? And then it wasn't until the last second. And I also thought, that when Kamala got that vision of them sitting out trance at the table, I was like, that's ominous.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
But the zombie horde, I think, was probably the coolest overall visual sequence, in my opinion.
Oh, man. That's tough. You think the I don't know. I thought there's another episode that we're just about to talk about.
Okay.
That I thought had some really cool, overall visuals in it.
All right. It was cool to see Milena's mind control device back that was introduced in Black Widow. I like this exchange. They follow you, Okoye says, which I guess Okoye and Scarlet Witch are the only zombies we saw talk. Am I right about that?
I think so. And I'm wondering if Scarlet Witch just allows Okoye to talk.
Or if she puppets her in a way.
Right.
But Okoye says they follow you, and Milena says they follow science. So it's again, it keeps setting up this science versus magic thing.
And you know who won in the end?
Who won in the end?
Magic.
Okay. I mean, not here.
Magic over science. Kick rock science.
I wish magic were real. But if it were, then we would define it and call it science.
Kick rock science. You're not going to try to get this one. Kick rocks.
Science is just magic that we have learned to harness.
Yeah. No.
All right. Do you want to set up our heroes' cruise?
Yeah. Flashing back to the outbreak, Shang-Chi and Katie are rescued from one of the first zombie hordes in San Francisco by Shang-Chi's father, Wenwu, and his organization, the Ten Rings. When Shang-Chi is bitten, Wenwu sacrifices his mystical rings and his life to save his son, and Shang-Chi and Katie escape with Wenwu's right-hand assassin, Death Dealer, and FBI agent, Jimmy Woo. Jumping to the present, the group fights off Skrulls, Mad Max style, to bring a herd of cattle to the raft, the floating prison turned fortified sanctuary being run by Baron Zemo and John Walker. Blade says that this is how they will travel to New Asgard. There they meet Kamala and her group as well. It turns out that Zemo has taken both groups on board to take their cattle tribute, yes, but also to sacrifice them to Namor and the zombies of Talokan once they reach the open sea to distract them to save the rest. Chaos ensues, and Kamala and the others eventually take out Namor. This time it is Yelena who sacrifices herself so the rest of the group can escape. What did you think? And I mean, I know some people call him Namor. You know,
Blade called him Namor in this.
Yeah,
I think that whole thing with the Namor thing is it's sort of like, he's like, you know, it's like people will, it's like Shang-Chi, for example. He's like, within my family, they're going to call me Shang-Chi. And when I'm in the US, I go by Sean.
Right.
So he's Namor to the Talokani and Namor to the rest of us. I loved seeing Jimmy Woo pop up. That was one of my favorite.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite moments.
Yeah. I have a real soft spot for Jimmy Woo for sure. This was fun. This whole sequence, the whole Mad Max moment. I had to laugh. It seemed to be an Easter egg. The fact that the Skrulls were they stealing the cows or did they want to liberate the cows?
I don't know. I don't know.
Do you want to explain that one?
there were Skrulls here on Earth who were pretending to be cows in the very early on, like in a 1960s comic. So they have a particular veneration for cows in the Skrull Marvel comics because the three who first came to Earth disguised themselves as cows to better watch what is going on the planet.
And wasn't it a punishment at some point, too, that they had to, after the whole secret invasion thing, they had to become cows?
Dad, I don't remember that. Okay. But I'll double check and find out.
I loved getting more of Shang-Chi also and Katie. I love how Katie, she's not a comic book hero, and her superpower is being best friends with Shang-Chi. But I love how she always still feels like she fits in every story. And I loved here that Shang-Chi was sharing the rings with her as well.
Yeah, and she became really proficient at using them as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, and they showed how she got them. And then also when we catch up with them later, we see how she's using them. So she's mm-hmm. obviously trained now to be able to, you know, harness the power of the rings, which was really cool. She's not just someone who needs to be saved anymore. She's, you know, out here doing the work.
Yeah. Yeah. Shang-Chi's like, I have a weapon that is actually divisible. I can actually share it.
Share it.
He does.
Right.
Yeah. That says a lot about him as a character.
Yeah.
I also loved Yelena hitting on Shang-Chi. So I was so disappointed she dies right after that. I was like, oh, come on.
Yeah, that was so stupid.
I'm not Gen Z. Stupid, I still like romance.
That's funny.
Do you have any final thoughts on this sequence?
Yeah, I thought the entire, you know, battle with the Talokan was great. That undersea, you know, seeing them break through and just how, you know, Namor was drawn and visualized and the way that he was just so ruthless, because he is a ruthless character, even when not a zombie. You know what I mean? So to see that amplified as much as it was really cool to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. It was a really cool sequence overall. And I feel like it's one of the ones I need to rewatch the most because there's a lot going on.
Yeah, I just think, you know, because as soon as they were under, when the raft went out to sea and I was like, oh, this is a ship, they're done. I'm like, as E was there, I said to myself, oh, they cooked right now. That's it. You know what I mean? Because so I knew the zombies could not only be, the sea had to have. I knew it. There was no way.
Why were they leaving from, if they're leaving, they left from New Orleans, which is indeed would be near enough that they would have to worry about Namor. Could they not leave from literally anywhere else? Because Blade said they were trying to get to New Asgard, which is in Norway. So I have questions about the map.
No, I think maybe he knew that the ship was there. But I don't know if he knew there's another ship somewhere. I think he went to the place that he knew that they can access some sort of travel. Not necessarily, you know.
So, I mean, yeah, that's the question, is where is the raft normally stationed? Is it normally in the Gulf of Mexico?
Oh, in 616 is outside of New York. It's in, you know.
So then why wouldn't they leave from New York?
I don't know. That's a good question. Because the raft was traveling, I think.
Okay.
I don't think it could be stationary. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like they would dock, get supplies, and head on out back to sea. You know, constantly traveling the globe to evade the zombies. But yeah. And then what he said about feeding, you know, they were sacrificing people to feed to the Talokan. So people would just get thrown out, which would allow the ship to, you know, to move away from wherever they were at.
Right. Okay. Okay. I'll buy it.
That's my logic.
Yeah. I'll buy it. All right. All right. Let's take a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to talk about the last two episodes. See you in a sec. All right, you want to set up New Asgard's last stand?
Yeah. Kamala's group reaches New Asgard with Khonshu talking their way into this haven of the gods, where they find a disaffected Valkyrie running things while Thor broods silently on his throne. The citizens of New Asgard feast on a meal provided by Wanda Maximoff, who claims to have been cured, but is actually using her powers of enchantment to hide that she no longer looks human. And the food she has been feeding them is zombie parts, so that she can turn all of the New Asgardians to use as her new army. She believes that she can use Kamala's powers of hard light to save the world, but Kamala doesn't think that she and Wanda have the same idea of what saving the world means. The Red Guardian is the only one of the group who ate the meal, and they eventually lose him. Not to mention Zemo, Death Dealer, and Jimmy Woo.
No.
But Valkyrie, unpleasantly snapped out of her apathy, agrees to bring Kamala and crew and the transmitter to space, while Thor stays behind to distract the Queen of the Dead. Only once they get to space, they find that the Nova Corp is already there, not to save Earth, but to place it in quarantine so that it may die out without infecting the rest of the galaxy.
Which, having read the comic books, fair.
Smart, by the way.
It's not the worst idea. Yeah, I mean, I think I love Wanda. She's my favorite character. I think I love her as a hero. I do think she makes an even better villain. She is quite as compelling in that. I like her as a villain in other dimensions, so she can be a hero in ours.
I like Hero Wanda better than I like Hero. Than rather, villain. I like Hero Wanda more than I like Villain Wanda.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because I'm always partial to, you know, what happened in when she said no more mutants. So I'm always looking for her redemption, you know, for her to get past that moment where she changed the MCU, the Marvel Universe forever.
I think we have that coming. I hope.
Yeah.
After so Vision I Quest.
Yeah, I like Wanda Hero. Mm-hmm. Give me Wanda Hero.
Hmm. I did note as soon as they said the Queen of Sokovia, I'm like, oh, that's Wanda. And Zemo said, Sokovia has no queen. Just to point out to anyone who doesn't remember that Baron Zemo is from, but here's a question. Okay, so yes. He's from Sokovia. So Sokovia has barons, but not queens?
Maybe that's his first name.
Okay, maybe.
Hi, I'm Baron Zemo.
All right, that's fair.
That's his middle name. I don't know. But it's funny because, you know, in the comics, Zemo is an older character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a much older, like right. Not just in age, but in time. So this is a character that goes back to the 40s and Hitler and mm-hmm. fighting Cap and all of that stuff.
Right.
So it makes sense that he would call himself Baron, you know, he would mm-hmm. be a Baron.
Yeah. And then they're like, let's make him young, hot and German.
Yeah, basically.
I did have questions about why Wanda thought that she needed Kamala's power to help her. And so I looked up some interviews with Brian Andrews, the showrunner the director of all the shows, a creator. And he said basically that even with Wanda's ability, she can't wrangle all the power of all six Infinity Stones on her own. The same way that someone might need a gauntlet, she needs something to focus that. And we felt that the hard light was the way to do that. The same way you would have a gem or a jewel of kind of like be a perfect drill bit or refract light in a certain way to create an uber intense laser to do the work you need to do. So she wants to use Kamala's hard light powers to refract the energy of the Infinity Stones to transpose them around the Earth and blah. You're shaking your head.
Vigorously shaking my head. This makes absolutely no sense. It's not science and it's not magic. I don't know what it is. They just had to figure out something to say, and that's what they said. Because there's nowhere in the show do we get an understanding of why she needs, why mm-hmm. Scarlet Witch needs her, needs Kamala, right? There's just nowhere in the show that tells us why. So I'm watching it and I'm wondering why is she after her so hard. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not explained.
Yeah.
But this explanation doesn't make it better.
I mean, this to explanation. Me, it doesn't make it better. Yeah. I mean, the explanation, I can buy into the explanation. It's fine for comic booky explanations, but they didn't say it in the show. So if you don't say it in the show, then yeah, you shouldn't have to explain it after. We should know after watching it. But anyway, I did like to see the two characters interacting. It was obviously a mirror of Wanda trying to kidnap America Chavez. Very, yeah. Very problematic behavior, Wanda. We need to talk.
That's why we love Hero Wanda.
Yeah, it's true.
Not villain Wanda.
Or at least, tragic anti-hero Wanda. I can't believe that they took Alexei out, or that he let them take them out once he realized he'd eaten the zombie parts. Like,
how
it's
great
your turn
was that
to
reveal?
Sacrifice yourself. Yeah.
How great was that reveal? That was a great reveal. That was a great reveal. That whole feast. Yeah. And I'm watching and I'm like, man, something bad's about to happen. I just didn't know what the bad was.
As soon and as then, I saw the Wanda looked like a human, I was like, oh no, she's masking everything in that room.
Like, man, and then the spell, you know, is broken and it's just like the truth is revealed. I'm like, wow, this is great. This is great.
All right. Well, after all that, it's time for Making the MCU Great Again. After Nova Corps shoots down their ship, Kamala's crew is rescued by the Kamertage crew. They learn that the Hulk actually absorbed the powers of the Infinity Stones to become Infinity Hulk, saving the Earth from destruction. Kamala's group fights alongside Infinity Hulk against Wanda, who wants the power of the Infinity Stones for herself and her horde of zombified Asgardians and more. But the tides of battle turn against them when Thor, now also a zombie, arrives, killing Blade as the hordes take out Shang-Chi, Katie, Valkyrie, Rintra, Peter Parker, and Scott Lang. Wanda takes the stones from a defeated Hulk and manipulates Kamala into helping her create her perfect world, which seems very pleasant on the surface, as Kamala meets her friends in a restored New York City for boba tea. But Kamala starts to see through the illusion to the shambling zombies beneath it as Riri shows up, calling to Kamala to snap out of it. So, yeah, I threw in the name Rintra there, which some people are like, what? but it's nice to see he's the green, I forget the name of his species, but he's the green, like, oxen-like character, basically. And he showed up, he was in Doctor Strange in Multiverse of Madness. You'll see him at the Kamertage there. He was apparently supposed to have a bigger part and they cut it down. So I'm like, justice for Rintra. He shows up a lot in Doctor Strange comics,
especially, yeah.
Yeah, especially. So that's where I encounter him. You know, when I was saying that this series was like a fan make-a-wish checklist, Infinity Hulk is the epitome of that, I think.
I think this was my favorite visual of Hulk bathed in that light and the rainbow colors around him, and he's kneeling and holding onto the, you know, to the power. I think that was my favorite visual of the series.
That's fair. Question about the cliffhanger, the way that they left things with Kamala. You didn't like it?
Yeah, I already said I didn't like the ending. I didn't.
But do you think it's more of a, like, okay, rank these three cliffhangers from most to least cliffhangery. This one, Peacemaker, and Alien Earth.
Oh, gosh. Which one is the most cliffhangery?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to say this one.
Okay.
I want to say this one. With somebody, you know, just calling out to her and like snap out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to say this one. Yeah. Let me go.
It's either
that
or it's just a tragedy. But then what happens to Riri?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So
I mean,
I'm definitely
going to
say this one.
Kamala's fine because, well, I guess if Kamala's zombified, Wanda can still use her powers. So I don't know why she didn't just turn her.
Right. It's very confusing. It's very confusing. And then the second reason why I didn't appreciate the ending is because it felt like the ending to Ironheart, where she takes the deal.
Right.
Like, don't take the deal.
And now this time, like, Riri's the one who's going to snap her out of it.
Right. Don't take the deal. Mm. Like, I'm left with both of these characters taking the deal, where I feel like they would not take the deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's just my feeling.
Yeah. No, I agree.
They would
with
not,
you.
They should not. There's nothing in them that tells me that they're going to take the deal.
Hmm.
And they take the deal.
No, I agree with you. I mean, I think we're definitely going to get Riri's story in the main universe continued somewhere. I think they kind of have to in a way. I don't know, even if it's I hope it's not just like a cursory lip service, you know? But this Marvel Zombies animated series, do you think there's any chance, if we don't get a season two, that this gets incorporated into, you know, as a part of Battle World?
Yeah, it should. It has to.
In live action then? Or are they going to do like a live action animation blend? They actually should do that. That would be fresh, feel fresh for the Marvel
universe. That would. But I think
it's risky.
Yeah. It is risky to do, but I would hope that they include the zombie world as part of Battle World. What's the percentage of that actually happening? Maybe 2.
Yeah.
Maybe 2%. Maybe 2%. Yeah, you know, but I would love to see it, and I think they should do it. Yeah, but I don't think it, quite honestly, it's not going to be included, I don't believe, in Battle World. But maybe we'll be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah. Okay.
But I'm not holding my breath. I'm not holding my breath.
Any final thoughts on this miniseries?
Again, I didn't appreciate the ending.
Mm-hmm.
For the same reasons I didn't appreciate Ironheart's ending, because I felt these two heroes deserve better. But it was an enjoyable 4 episodes. Really, yeah. You know, easy to digest, easy to understand the story, to get involved in it. And I think the visuals, again, just animation is just top notch. And if nothing else, you know, you will enjoy what you're seeing on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it has a lot of rewatchability, I think, personally.
Yeah. I agree. I think it's going to be a fun one to rewatch in the future. As I said, it doesn't hold the special place in my heart that the last two have, which would be Werewolf by Night and Agatha All Along, which, by the way, you can find links to those in the show notes. Or even, I think I even have a softer spot for Doctor Strange, The Multiverse of Madness. And that movie came out before even you and David started doing this Marvel series. But Properly Howard have an episode on it in their feed, so I'll link that. I can't 100% endorse their opinion, but they make a lot of good points. They make a lot of good points. Wanda is best when she's witchy, although I'm a lot more forgiving of a lot of the superhero stuff.
Right.
It doesn't, like, I guess I had such high expectations going in for this, and visually it surpassed them, and then story-wise, character-wise, it fell a little bit short of what I was hoping for there.
No, agree totally. It's not it's not the best Marvel has done, but again, on a weekday, a weeknight, a weekend, you have nothing to do. You have a few hours, 2-3 hours, mm-hmm. 2.5 hours to binge. This is perfect, I think.
Oh, you want some great visuals on? This is a great one for that.
Yeah, to see what we can actually do with animation. Mm-hmm. I think this is great.
And it does, you know, there's a lot of moments in it that I really love. Like, I love the Blade Knight thing. Infinity Hulk was great. Just all of the characters teaming up. But it left me just wanting more every time it teased one of these interactions. I'm like, I want more of that. Stop. Don't take away my toys when you've just shown them to me.
Agree.
Yeah. All right. So this is it for Marvel and DC now this year, although we might do some ranking stuff.
Yeah, we're going to have to do some rankings at the end of the year, but
Well, no, I meant we've been talking about for subscribers doing the MCU rankings, phase ranking.
Oh, we got to do that too.
Yeah, we've been talking about it forever. But what do we have coming in 2026?
We have the Versus preview in January. Yeah, that's going to be an undertaking because 2026 could have some really good stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. For both Marvel and DC.
And DC. So yeah. We have Wonder Man, 8 episodes starting January 27th, 2026. We have Daredevil, Born Again, 8 episodes, March 4th, 2026. I think we're going to do episode breakdowns.
For those? I mean,
for those. Yeah. Or we segmented have to, breakdowns. We have to
Have confirmed what the release schedule is going to be. Because we don't know. I think Daredevil is going to be weekly, but Wonder Man, we're not sure yet.
I'm still thinking Wonder Man is weekly.
I think if they're smart, they should, but.
We'll see. Mm-hmm. Then we have the Punisher special, but we're not sure when in 2026. Mm-hmm. Then we have Vision Quest, 8 episodes, late in 2026. Then we have your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man back, season 2, late 2026. Then we have Doomsday, December 18th, 2026. Avengers Secret Wars, December 17th, 2027.
And there's way there's going to be nothing in between those.
Yeah, there has to be more to be announced. So we'll update everyone once we get those announcements about what we'll be covering and how we'll be covering those things.
Right. But if you have any feedback or thoughts about any of these, then please send that into comicsvs@thelorehounds.com. You'll find that linked in the show notes. And we'll talk about it in a future episode. I just want to say also that this episode will be added to what is currently the Peacemaker feed. That's going to become the Comics Versus feed. So we're going to be retroactively adding in the Marvel side of things there if you are listening there. But do check out the main feed. What do we got going on there, Jean?
All right. So we have Spooktober Weapons. If you haven't seen Weapons, if you've seen Weapons, go see Weapons. And listen to the pod.
It's on HBO now as of a couple days ago.
It just came out yesterday, mm-hmm. on HBO, but Max was on Friday, I think.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. And that was the Spooktober. That was your choice, yeah?
Yeah, that was the vote. That was the winner of the vote.
Okay, so that was Weapons. And we have one battle after another, times three. Which means that we got quite a few pods on this movie. David and Anthony. David did one with the Dungeons and Durag folks. And then David, Anthony, and me, we did one as well. So check those out. Very different pods, each one of them, I must say. The conversations are very different, but still very cool. Mm-hmm. We have weekly coverage of It, Welcome to Derry, Incoming. Who's doing that? That's you.
Me and John.
John. Some Light Talamasca, The Secret Order coverage.
We're not going to do weekly coverage for sure. We're going to decide once we start. It's just coming out. Like, it'll be out just before this episode is released. The episode will have come out on AMC Plus. So we're going to decide after we watch what we're going to do, but we're going to have Welcome to Derry. It's going to be our primary show.
The thing, yeah. Mm-hmm. Then we have Del Toro's Frankenstein episode that's going to come in November. The movie drops next week,
Yeah, it's in select theaters now. I wanted to see it this weekend. I didn't make it. I'm going to go this week. I want to see it in the theater, but it's going to be on Netflix November 7th. So we'll do our episode shortly after that.
And then weekly Pluribus coverage led by David coming in November as well, which looks really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. They just put out the first full trailer and that looks interesting indeed. Check out the link tree in the show notes for links to, amongst other things, our Discord, where we have Marvel and DC forums with spoiler chats per movie and show under franchises. But we have all the chats for all the things that we discuss and also our affiliates. You'll find those links in the link tree. Radioactive Ramblings. They are doing Gen V right now. Never Mind the Music, where psychology meets music. Check out the Superman Hope Punk episode coming out shortly in a couple weeks, I think. Properly Howard, they just wrapped up their bacon wrap season. And I put that link in the show notes to their old Cocoons of Horror episode of Multiverse of Madness. And we'll shift dust for your old school Frankenstein movie pleasure and the Star Wars canon timeline. Timeline podcast. You can also, if you are listening to this, then You can help us for free just by sharing this episode with anyone else who wants a deeper discussion of Marvel zombies and comics comparisons, and leaving hopefully positive ratings and reviews wherever you're listening. Just thank you, though, period, if you are listening. Yeah, just thank you. Thank you for hanging out with us. Supercast and Patreon subscribers get extra episodes in addition to ad-free access to all of these episodes. There's special bonus content for shows like Alien Earth, where David just put out a final episode talking about the psychology of it with Nicole. And What You Watching has been busy. There's been a lot of What You Watching. It's been a Great British Bake Off. There's some film festivals coming. There's going to be a Dick Turpin Halloween special coming just before Halloween. And of course, we have our Second Breakfast and 11zs episodes every month. This month was Pumpkin and Squash, and we just released the 11zs Lore Down. So tying to the Public Weapons episode, there was a subscriber episode pitting Barbarian from 2022 and Companion from 2025 head to head. I mean, slight spoiler, but it was pretty close. It was surprisingly close.
Interesting.
And next month's going to be Pi and Robert Redford with David. All right. Oh, hold on. I have to add some musica. Definitely horror folder. All right, should we go for stalked, phobia, or cyberforce?
Let's do stalked. Okay. I'm very interested to hear what this stalked business is.
All right. Thank you to our Discord server boosters. Do you feel stalked? To Aaron K., Tilla the Thriller, no, we're not stalking you, Doof71, Athena Ajalea, Lestu, Nancy M., Ghost of Perdition, Radioactive Richard, and Adrian. And thank you especially to our highest tier of subscribers, our lore masters. That's Samartian, Michael G., Michelle E., Brian P., SC, Peter OH, Adam S., Nancy M., Doof71, Brian8063, Frederick H., Sarah L., Gareth C., Matthew M., Sarah M., Andre B., Kwong Yu, Deadeye Jedi Bob, Nathan T., Sub-Zero, Aaron K., Dally V., Mothership 61, Gnarls, Kathy W., Listu, Jeffrey B., Elisa U., Neil F., Ben B., Scott F., Stephen N., Julia F., Colley S., Il Mariel, /Tim, Paul K., Rocky Zim, Jessica H., Red Zippy, The TCS, Catch It, and always last, Adrian.
So, right. Alicia, you have anything you want to say to one Kevin Feige?
Give us the champions now.
Feige.
The Lorehounds podcast is produced and published by The Lorehounds. You can send questions and feedback and voicemails at thelorehounds.com/contact. Get early and ad-free access to all Lorehounds podcasts at patreon.com/thelorehounds. Any opinions stated are ours personally and do not reflect the opinion of or belong to any employers or other entities.